痛。
We all know that Christmas Day is Friday, 5 days from today. And we know that it will come whether we're ready for it or not. It's on the calendar. And even though this year is different than previous years and might even seem like it's like Christmas is not at all coming, very few people around, even in the Simbangabi masses, very small crowds. That doesn't stop the march of time, and it doesn't take away our responsibility to be ready for the coming of the Lord. The question in Advent is, are we ready? And if we're not, what do we need to do to get ready? We've been facing this question for the whole of Advent so far. In fact, we had a beautiful preparation just before the Mass. Those of you who were here early, we had the rite of general absolution. That was a beautiful way to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, because it was to be set free from sin, which is the biggest obstacle to our readiness. Anyway, we're preparing the way. We're preparing for the coming of the Lord. We're not just preparing our houses and our schedules and our shopping and decorating and whatever plans we were making for Christmas. We are preparing our hearts. Now, we're not very good at preparing our hearts. We don't even know what to do most of the time. So we turn to the Word of God. This is what the church gives us. It gives us the Word of God every day so that we learn how God wants us to prepare. All the prophets and all the prophecies help us to get ready, just like they helped the people of old, and especially John the Baptist. We focused on him for the past two Sundays. Now, when it comes to prophecies, one of the most famous of all the Christmas prophecies is the one from Isaiah about the virgin who will be with child and bear a son. I'm sure you know that prophecy, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We know this prophecy. We know that it refers to the Blessed Virgin Mary. 1,000 years before Mary came on the scene, there was a prophecy of a virgin who would be with child and bear a son. And today's gospel tells us how this happens. The angel Gabriel comes and tells her, you're going to conceive and bear a son. Exactly what the prophecy said. And you shall name him, not Emmanuel, God is with us, but Jesus, God saves. Mary asks, well, how can this be? How can a virgin conceive? Good question. We don't know. How could that happen? And the answer of the angel is, not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. It sounds impossible, but it's not impossible, because nothing is impossible for God. Now, that prophecy about the virgin is famous to us Christians, but to the Jews, it was not that famous. They were not that focused on the virgin. It was kind of a side issue. For the Jews, what really stood out in their minds was the promise reported by many prophets many times that God would raise up a new king. God would raise up a descendant of David to save his people, to restore the kingdom, to gather the scattered people of God into one new kingdom. That's the promise that they really knew. Nowadays, we don't think so much about descendants of David and about kings and things like this, because we know that Jesus Christ is the one. He's the universal. He's the eternal king of the universe. But let's go back to what Mary would have thought, what Mary would have been taught about what is to come in the future. You see, like all good Jews, Mary knew the prophecy, the promise, of a Messiah to come, a new King David to come. And this promise is very clear in today's first reading. I don't know if you noticed it, because the language is not that striking to us, but to the Jews, this was a very important passage. You see, King David is at the peak of his power. He's reigning over the kingdom. He's conquered all the enemies. And it comes into his mind to build a temple for the Lord. It sounds like a great idea. Build a temple for the Lord. Sure, give him glory. And that's what he's planning to do until the prophet Nathan receives a message from the Lord, and he has a completely different idea. Not that David will build a house for the Lord, but that the Lord will build a house for David. It's one of these surprises. Pope Francis calls God a God of surprises. This is one of the surprises. This good idea of David is far surpassed by the good idea of the Lord. There's a play on words here. What David means a house, he means a building, a temple. The Lord means a house in the sense of a royal line, the reign of David and his descendants, a dynasty. And nowadays, dynasty has a bad connotation. We think of political dynasties, and everyone in a democracy says, well, a political dynasty is a breakdown of democracy. And you can't just assume that the son of the senator or the son of the president will automatically be the senator or the president. That's not democracy. But the Jews were not a democracy. They were following the Lord. And the Lord says he's establishing a dynasty for David. Listen to the prophecy. The Lord reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. He's talking to David. And when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne will stand firm forever. That's quite a promise. A king, a kingdom coming from David to last forever. Can't make a very much bigger promise than that. There's no end to it. And so that's what the Jews were waiting for. That's what they were hoping for. That's what they were longing for. That's what they were preparing for. In fact, Orthodox Jews to this day are still looking forward to the fulfillment of this promise, a Messiah, a descendant of David, a great king to save his people. So that's what the Jews have in mind. Let's go back to what the angel says. The angel Gabriel says to Mary, he says to her, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Listen to this. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. There is the throne of David. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. To us, that sounds like a lofty language. It sounds like, you know, beautiful symbolism, or it sounds like ruling forever, kingdom without end. That sounds like heaven to us, something very spiritual. It did not sound spiritual to Mary. It sounded like, and to any Jew who heard these words, it sounded very practical. It is the precise description of what Nathan said to David 1,000 years earlier. The ancient prophecy, Gabriel was saying, the ancient prophecy about a king forever is going to be fulfilled by your son. He is the king you have been waiting for. Now that is overwhelming news. That is an astounding news. Not only that she will conceive and bear a son, but that this son is going to be the long-awaited Messiah. No wonder Mary says, well, how can this be? How can this be? This is way beyond me. This is way bigger than I ever thought of. Not that she never thought of. She thought she was longing for the coming of the Messiah, for sure. But she didn't think that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. How could anybody think that? Is she saying, are you sure you have the right girl here?
Are you sure? Is this really her? She's not resisting. It's just too big to take in. And not only that, I'm a virgin. I don't have relations with a man. I don't have, even have the first step. The most basic building block isn't even in place. You're starting with nothing here. I'm just a lowly handmaid. She's not declaring that she doesn't want it or she doesn't believe it. She's saying, I'm unworthy. What are you saying here? How can this be? You see the difference that's set up here. King David, who's a great king, he has in his mind, I'm going to build the Lord a temple, a beautiful house. It's not wrong, but it's a human will at work. It's a human decision. It comes from David. Mary says, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let his will be done in me. It's not a human project. Can't even think of it. She doesn't say, I'm going to make my womb a beautiful, fitting temple for the Lord. She doesn't say that. How could anyone think such a thing? But that's exactly what happens. The great temple is Mary herself. That's what happens because she lets God take charge. Not because she thinks herself capable of such an impossible thing, but because she knows God can do it. Because nothing is impossible for God. That's the clincher. That's the thing that is convincing. That's impossible, but not for God. So this is what's set before us today, this fourth Sunday of Advent. We're getting very close. What's set before us is the magnificent promise, the magnificent divine plan, and a surprisingly lowly, humble fulfillment of the plan. It's a striking combination. Greatness and littleness. Divine power and human weakness. This Messiah, this eternal King, this Son of David, this Son of the Most High, is also Son of Mary, the lowly handmaid. That's the combination. Okay, now I started with, are we ready? This question of Advent, are we ready? And if we're not, what do we need to do to get ready? How do we prepare the way of the Lord? To be ready for the coming of the Lord, we have to prepare. How do we prepare? Well, we need both of the parts of this great plan. We need the great part and the small part. The great part comes from God, not from us. He does great things. We know this by faith. We know this by history. We know it from the scriptures. God does great things. We don't have to think that we will do anything great or that we are so important. God will do great things in us and through us. This is the joyful hope of Advent, that God will do great things. We are not in the place of the high King David, making great plans for the glory of God. No, we are in the place of the lowly virgin, Mary, the handmaid, the servant. You see, too often we get these mixed up. We exaggerate our place and we diminish God's great plan. And that's why it doesn't work. We put more emphasis on what we do than on what God does. It doesn't work. What we learn in Advent is to open ourselves to the great things that God does and accept them with humility. The way to be ready for Christmas is to take on the attitude of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to let her attitude, her spirit, take deep root in our hearts. That's the way to be ready. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Behold, I am the lowly servant of the Lord. I'm nothing. I can't do anything. May it be done to me according to your word. If you have a great plan, let it happen.
If you want me to wait, I'll wait. If you want me to serve, I'll serve. If you want me to suffer, I'll suffer. If you want me to speak, I'll speak. If you want me to be silent, I'll be silent. If you want me to live through a pandemic, I'll live through a pandemic. Your will be done. That's the whole spirit. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Say this every day. Every day. This is the answer. That's why we have the practice of the Angelus. And this is a noon mass. At noon, we pray the Angelus. We didn't pray it today. But at noon, we pray the Angelus. 6 o'clock, noon, 6 o'clock. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. It's exactly in the prayer. That's why we celebrate that prayer. Or the first joyful mystery of the rosary, Annunciation. Keep saying, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Do whatever it takes to get that spirit in your heart. Do whatever it takes to be ready, like Mary, for the coming of the Lord.